Welcome to Off the Grid Radio. Better ideas to bust you and your family out of today's global control grid. Now, here's today's show.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Off the Grid Radio. I'm Michael Faust of offthegridnews.com. Easter is nearly here, which means many of us are focusing once again on the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. But as we'll discover on today's edition of Off the Grid Radio, there's far more to the story than we may have realized. On this special edition of Off the Grid Radio, we talk to Bill Hyde, the founder of Heirloom Audio and Solutions from Science, who has produced a new video called The Lost Secrets of Easter. It retells the Easter story in a way you may never have considered. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
This is an incredible video, and I've got to say up front that I've been really moved by what you've done. I've shown it to my friends and family, and they've really been impressed as well. I'm just curious, why did you make this video?
Well, originally I made it. I wanted to do something for my own family, friends, folks here where we work,
Sure. And
then our Heirloom Audio list. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the guys that were helping me put it together, so many people asked me if they could use it in their church. Mm-hmm. I finally said, well, okay, let's put it online so people can see it. But mm-hmm. my original intention really was just to make sure that people know, as you know, we like to do off-grid things.
Sure.
So I think real Christianity has become sort of an off-grid topic as well. We kind of say stuff you're not going to get in church sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. I hope that you get it in church, but sometimes things get lost, and they get lost. And there's a movie with Bill Murray, Lost in Translation. A lot of times things get lost just through the hustle bustle of a holiday, for example. Easter could be lost quite easily because in this narrative, in this story, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things tightly packed together. Mm-hmm. And we've all heard the story so many times mm-hmm. that it tends to get lost just in our own minds. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. But I think what makes it fun, what makes it exciting for me is go back and reread the story. I used Luke for my version of this and Luke 24 and went through this. But I got very excited about it when I started to think, oh, all right, there's not only is this a great story, but there's rival stories in the world today. And there's rival stories with respect to secularist stories. Mm-hmm. And Islam certainly has a story that's been very profound, and Islam is on the rise. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons that culturally Christianity is on the decline is that the implications of what we believe mm-hmm. aren't manifest. So let's talk about Islam for just a second. We didn't plan on doing this, but I'm just going to tell you that I appreciate the fact that Muslims believe that what you think and believe in your heart should have a manifestation in the outward world, mm-hmm. right? Christians used to believe that. Mm-hmm. That's certainly what the pilgrims believed when mm-hmm. they came here. It's one of the reasons why they came here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that movie Black Hawk Down, the general goes, we've lost the initiative, right? I think, and in some ways, this is one big Black Hawk Down kind of thing when we've lost the initiative.
Well, let's switch then to kind of a parallel theme, which is that this video is 11 minutes long. And I think that's kind of similar to what you're talking about in terms of we can't just talk about just the basics. We've got to go beyond the basics into the implications. So why do we need an 11-minute video, I guess is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, well, we're lucky that we were able to condense it into 11
minutes.
Here's what Augustine said. He said, you know, the gospel is shallow enough for a child to play in, but deep enough to drown an elephant. Mm-hmm. And I made that with that in mind, I kind of produced this video so young kids can watch it. You can mm-hmm. send it to a philosophy professor at Berkeley, mm-hmm. And everyone's going to get something out of it. People may not agree completely mm-hmm. with it, but we're just saying, pressing, what are the implications of...
Because it deals with worldview.
It does. What are the implications of mm-hmm. this? And mm-hmm. so, as you said, when most Easter stories are over mm-hmm. and you walk out of church and mm-hmm. the lilies are everywhere and everyone's got a new dress mm-hmm. on, hopefully it's warm weather wherever you are, and that's when our story is just getting going.
Yeah.
So we do tell that story, but mm-hmm. we're just getting warmed up, and then we say, okay, here's more of how this happened.
This video, I should say, for people who haven't seen it, it's for kids, it's for adults, it's for everybody. I've shown it to my kids. Let's deal with this. What is it about the Easter story that is so important for the next generation?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one, the Easter story is just that. It's a story. It's a narrative. Mm-hmm. And I think that people believe and understand things much, much better if they're given a story rather than if they're giving a list of facts. So you can come up with lots of facts about Christianity, mm-hmm. and atheists will come up with lots of facts that would say, I don't believe that, here's my facts, right? So it's this business of hurling facts back and forth across the wall at each other. I think story forms, obviously very important.
Yes.
And then, of course, the next generation, I think what's dear to my heart, and as I said, I started with my own kids and grandkids. If we lose our own families, we shouldn't really be worrying too much about other people's families, right? So I wanted to be able to make this statement, this kind of, okay, this is what this believes to me, for me. Mm-hmm. And I think, according to some Barna studies and this new Ken Ham book, called Already Gone. It may not be brand new, but mm-hmm. two-thirds. So this Sunday, people are going to be in church. A lot of people right. That don't go to church are going to be in church. But if you look around, two-thirds of all the young people that are in church, look from middle school all the way up through high school, two-thirds of them, they go off to college, they are never going to return. And that is profound, mm-hmm. and it's telling. Mm-hmm. At a time when other worldviews are growing and ascending mm-hmm. in popularity, it's really something that we've lost the initiative. We've lost our story. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of reasons why that is. And we've talked about some of them before. You can make Christianity so compact that mm-hmm. it has no, mm-hmm. and reduce it to just soteriological category. Mm-hmm. So you know, are you saved? People say, well, and there's nothing else that there is. That's or right. you can make it such a long, big narrative that people don't know where you're at in it. And both of those two things are maybe ditches on this road.
Yeah.
There is a problem, I think, inherent in it. It'd be almost like we talk about Star Wars here. If you took your son to Star Wars and you took him to the middle, you didn't show him the beginning of it, right? Mm-hmm. You just said, okay, we're going to go to Star Wars, and you show up. You get your popcorn, because I know you like popcorn. You get your popcorn, and you show up in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back home, you start talking about the story. It's not going to make any sense. So listen, if your kids are going to school, they're watching TV, they're going to get a secular humanist perspective. I'm not condemning or judging anybody. I'm just saying this is a worldview. And we'll look at evolution, for example. If you think your kids are taught week in and week out that you came from primordial goo, mm-hmm. there's no point in Easter, is there? Because right. there's no personal God. Yeah. There's no breach. There's no problem with the you know, in Eden. And so in our story, there's a personal God, creates the heavens and the earth, puts Adam and Eve in the garden. There's this breach. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Tennessee football where someone throws out a flag and it's a 10-yard penalty. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? This is mm-hmm. a big penalty. Mm-hmm. Right? And it affects you and I today. So then Easter becomes the fix. Mm-hmm. And that's a very different narrative. If you take a son or daughter or grandchild to school that gets this evolutionary story mm-hmm. all week long, all lifelong, mm-hmm. and then you put them in here, they're going to quite rightly, Michael, say, this doesn't fit. This doesn't make any sense. And then to coin a phrase from a movie, something's got to give. So one of the two things are going to go. Mm-hmm. And most likely Christianity is going to go because this platform's been built for this other paradigm mm-hmm. that ostensibly on the surface looks like it's a more sustainable platform.
So let's go on to that, to talk specifically about how the world, you know, the worldview implications of Easter. How does Easter affect how we see the world then?
Well, because just exactly as I was saying, there are specific categories of thought. Mm-hmm. There are worldview mm-hmm. implications. So worldview, we'll just call it a network of beliefs, right? So it's not an individual marble. It's more like a spider web, right? So that's one of the reasons that you can say something to someone on the left, mm-hmm. and they're not just going to think one area of their life, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, yeah, well, let's talk about abortion, or let's talk about socialism, let's talk about this, let's talk about guns. They tend to disagree with libertarians and conservatives on everything. Why?
Yeah.
Because all of these things are connected and tied together. Mm-hmm. They go and come together. And so mm-hmm. it's the same thing with Christianity. If we're going to build a worldview in our kids that's going to rival the other worldviews, then they need to know what it is. What is it that we believe? That probably leads into another question. What is it that we do believe? And I think if we can't answer those questions, quite rightly, those kids. The smart kids are going to go, this doesn't make any sense. And that's where we lose them. And many times we lose the best and the brightest because Christians don't have answers.
You know, a lot of people have called Easter the most important day in human history, the most important point in human history. You believe that as well. Why?
Certainly, because this is a thing where we go back to the garden again, and you've got this breach, as I said. And in our story, in our narrative, in Christianity, there's a breach, and then there's a promise to fix that. Mm-hmm. So this is, I would say, the hinge upon which all of history turns. So you have all pre-Christ history, as shadows, as we say, mm-hmm. and kind of foretelling what's going to come. You have mm-hmm. sacrifices that are sort of mm-hmm. foretelling this, you know, shadowy sacrifices that are foretelling that, you know, this need for atonement, this need for a covering, this need for to fix something. And I might just say too, Michael, that this need for atonement, this need to fix something, people do feel guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And so people, folks will go to, if they're not Christians and they don't have this atonement that we're talking about, you can get a Freudian analysis, for example. That would be another form of atonement, mm-hmm. a way of thinking about a release from, don't worry about it, you're a victim from your childhood. Yeah. And that tends to have an atoning effect on people. It's one explanation. It's a covering for why the world is broken so much. And if people listening don't think it's broken, go read the headlines, right? It's sure. broken. We all know that by looking in the mirror. We know that by having family get-togethers. We know that by reading the headlines. We mm-hmm. live in a broken world.
You know, we're in Easter or Holy Week right now, and parents are going to be, you know, some parents are actually going to be wondering how do they teach their kids about Easter? And so I'm kind of wanting your advice here. What is the best way to use Easter to help shape a better Christian worldview in our children?
That's a great question. And I think, number one, if you're not excited about Easter, if you're a Christian, that's okay. I wish you would be. That's okay. But if you say that you are, there's a real danger here of this business of being lukewarm. If you say you're a Christian and your kids are actually watching you all the time, and we know this, we joke a lot of times about, we've got friends that smoke and we say, you know, I tell my kids they shouldn't smoke, but they smoke. Mm-hmm. Guess what their kids do when they grow up? They smoke. Mm-hmm. Because listen, your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. If you don't get excited about Easter, I think it becomes a little bit of a problem mm-hmm. for you to get other people excited mm-hmm. about it. It is this hit, this linchpin, mm-hmm. this hinge. Mm-hmm. And if you bring people in mm-hmm. halfway through the movie mm-hmm. and you don't slow down, mm-hmm. you know, you got a family, you know what it's like getting over the hustle bustle of pushing mm-hmm. through this, and you got to be this place, you got to sure. be that place. If you don't slow down mm-hmm. and tell the story and really explain what's going on from Moses and the prophets, from Genesis, you know, then through Moses and the prophets, as, mm-hmm. as we say in the video, mm-hmm. all the way through with this culmination, mm-hmm. and your kids see you as excited about it, then I think you're going to have something. If you're missing any of those things, if people don't see it as really exciting to you, if your kids don't see it as exciting to you, then obviously they're going to know how you really feel about it. Mm-hmm. And if it's worn out, it's worn out. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you need to get in the closet and get yourself all worked up about it again, because it is an important thing. And I think the reason I did this video is what's exciting about it is it's not an ordinary telling of that story.
Sure.
So maybe what we need from pastors and friends and teachers is, okay, how can we make this more relevant and put a different angle on it that's still true? We don't want to spin it out of control, but make it more interesting. And I wanted to make this video interesting enough for my unbelieving friends to watch and at least to start a conversation with them about, okay, these are what the claims of Christianity mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree necessarily, mm-hmm. but it's important for all of us to know what we agree about. You know, Michael, those categories I'm always talking to you about, metaphysics, for yeah. example, right? Mm-hmm. How do we get here? What's the nature of reality? Epistemology, how do we know things? How, you know, what are the limits of knowledge? Mm-hmm. Every worldview's got to answer those two things. And then, of course, ethics. Mm-hmm. What's the source of law? What's yeah. the source of what's right and
dealing
wrong?
Dealing with philosophy now.
Yeah, of yeah. course, of yeah. course. And yeah. theology in some sense, mm-hmm. because those things all fit together. Sure. But those three categories, all of us have to answer those things. And let's face it, if you believe in evolution, you're going to have a hard time. Number one, you're going to have a hard time with Easter because there's no need for it.
Sure.
But what do you say to Hitler? isn't that just survival of the fittest? Mm. And you can say everybody knows we shouldn't kill 6 million Jews. Well, it's obvious everybody doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. Read the paper. Mm-hmm. You've got Assad, you've got right. Kim Jong-un, oh, you've
yeah.
got
yeah.
Putin. The world is full of dangerous people who don't know that. So that if someone says that to me, I'm going to say, apparently you've been in a cave on Mars for the last 100 years, because people don't know that. Mm-hmm. They want what they want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just important for us to know what it is that we believe, and to know especially what our source of law is. If we don't know that, I think anthropologists used to always judge a society. They would go into a primitive society and they would want to know two things. And mm-hmm. this has a lot to do with Easter. They would want to know, number one, what's the source of law in that culture, mm-hmm. in that society? Mm-hmm. And that's that society's God. Mm-hmm. Number two, they would say, what's the thing that that culture wants to pass on to its kids? What rises to the level of importance or ultimacy, as we say, mm-hmm. that needs to be passed on, mm-hmm. that needs to be that baton in a track, you know, that you're going to hand off to the next generation? Mm-hmm. Every culture has those things. The Romans yeah. had those things. The Greeks had those things. So people can say, oh, no, we don't have those things. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. They're not always conscious. Mm-hmm. Many times they're unconsciously handed mm-hmm. off. And that is what I'm saying is dangerous. That's what Christ called that business of being lukewarm, right? Mm-hmm. And we all know how that ends. You don't want to be spit out. So everyone needs to know what it is they believe. And then what's the approach to Easter? I think it's profound. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about one of the most important parts of it, too, I think, that's,
sure.
that's really made me want to do this. And again, for my friends that don't believe the same way that I do, I guess I kind of wanted to make the point in it that if you look at what happened on Easter, mm-hmm. we tend to sort of romanticize these stories, their beloved stories, mm-hmm. and we look at the Marys went and checked out the tomb. There was, sure. you know, if you're reading Luke's account, there's nothing there. They took spices. Most people, you know, that's a beloved part. But the fact that they took embalming and spices to adorn the body mm-hmm. doesn't demonstrate that they believed yeah. that Jesus was Lord. It demonstrates profound unbelief.
Yeah.
So too, those ladies ran back and they told, you know, the boys, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, this was going on. And Luke describes that in a medical, in the original Greek, is a medical term
yeah.
that these people have lost their minds and they're do you have a fever too, is what a physician would say if they came back.
Sure.
So the disciples, the apostles, they didn't believe it either. You go to Cleopas, and that's where our story kind of starts with Cleopas on the road. Cleopas starts telling this stranger as they walk on this road to Emmaus about Jesus of Nazareth. He kind of said the same thing I said. You must have been in a cave on Mars, right? You're the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know the story. Mm-hmm. Well, he then begins to tell the stranger about Jesus, and he says, this guy was a mighty prophet and word and deed.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like praise, yeah, but yeah. Michael, it's faint praise. Now, he didn't say he was Lord. If he said he was Lord, that'd be a different deal, wouldn't it? But he said he was a mighty prophet, like the apostles, like the ladies, it ended there. And their belief, despite the fact that a lot of the folks that are around him, we would consider to be maybe 2 or 3 years of the best seminary you could, would there be a better seminary school you could go to than having 2 or 3 years with Jesus Christ? Absolutely. And he told you over and over what was going to happen, mm-hmm. who he was, what the deal was, mm-hmm. what was going to happen in the future, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, all these things were going to happen. And yet, being in that greatest school that ever existed, mm-hmm. they still didn't believe. Mm-hmm. So we think these stories are beloved because we put ourselves in those positions. And you know what? We know, in all humility, we know we wouldn't have done any better. Mm-hmm. So in the video, if you watch the video, if everybody watches the video, they'll find out what it is that we need. And we say, it's not more information. It's something else. It's like a mystery, right? I'm not going to do the spoiler. You got to watch the video.
That's right. We're talking, it's the lost secret of Easter, lost secrets of Easter.
Secrets, plural.
Lost secrets of Easter. Okay. I do think we need to emphasize that this is good for kids. Because
did you get that letter? Or did you get the letter that I sent you that the 5-year-old wrote?
Yes.
Was that amazing?
Incredible. Yes.
It was incredible.
Tell us about it.
Well, we sent it out to a couple of the lists that we have, and a grandmother sent this description of what a 5.5-year-old what her reactions mm-hmm. to it, and she was weeping after mm-hmm. watching this, mm-hmm. so thankful that Jesus Christ had given up his life for her. Now, isn't that something about her minds being radically open to this message? Mm-hmm. And we position that over against unbelief. And when we talk about unbelief, we're not pointing fingers at anybody at all. We're talking about unbelief of the people that later went on to be some of Jesus's best mm-hmm. and brightest and most devoted. And matter of fact, they gave their lives for the same cause. Mm-hmm. So we got to be careful about judging our neighbors with respect to unbelief or not getting the facts straight. Mm-hmm. And what we got to pray about is that what the Christian narrative is that it's the scriptures that open this up. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus expounded to Cleopas and his friend. Mm-hmm. He expounded the scriptures. And then at the end, they're saying, well, didn't our hearts burn when he was explaining this to him after he was gone, then when he broke bread? So I think it's something for, as I said, for all ages. It doesn't matter what denomination, if you don't believe in Christianity, if you're one of our agnostic, atheist friends, one of our Muslim friends, watch it anyway. It's fun to have the conversation. And I think rather than blow each other up, mm-hmm. let's talk about the things that we believe together, the things that we don't believe. Mm-hmm. I think our narrative's going to win. My guess is that Muslims think their narrative is going to mm-hmm. win. But I'm saying let's have a conversation so we actually know what all the parties believe. Mm-hmm. My son Matt and I were watching Bill Maher's Religious, this little documentary that he did. And, he brings stuff up on his show. And of course, he's the master of the edit, right? So if you bring a good point up, he's going to edit it out.
Right.
He wants you to look like a fool. He wants a bumper sticker version of a babbling Christian. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's not the history of the world.
That's
There's been some amazing and very thoughtful and intelligent Christian scientists mm-hmm. and people like John Milton. I mean, the list goes on and on. But the problem is, it's not a bumper sticker conversation. So Christians, it's hard to compete with things when all we're doing is, when mm-hmm. we're the guy with the clown wig and the John 3:16 sign,
right.
The world looks at us quite rightly and goes, whoa. Mm-hmm. But we've got a bigger and better story.
Yeah.
John 3:16 is an amazing, amazing part of the Bible, but it's huge.
Mm-hmm. We need to start wrapping this up, Bill. So tell us how people can get the video, what your goal for the video is.
Sure. Well, oddly enough, the video is at www.thelostsecretsofeaster.com.
Okay.
Thelostsecretsofeaster.com.
Secrets, plural.
Secrets, plural. And we'll put a link on the page as well.
Sure.
And the goal is for sanctification for those that are sort of believing the same things that maybe you and I would believe. And then the goal is to start a conversation with those folks that aren't. And really, let's define our terms and let's talk about what it is we believe and then what are the implications of our belief.
It's a video that people can pass on to their friends, their family members, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. The website is The Lost Secrets of Easter. Our guest has been Bill Hyde. He's the founder of Solutions from Science and Heirloom Audio. Bill, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
As a reminder, you can visit offthegridnews.com for the best homesteading and off-grid advice you will find anywhere. And while you're there, check out the Worldview section, which has even more of Bill's thoughts on society and scripture. Off-Grid News is also on Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter. Keywords, Off-The-Grid News. With engineer Richard Moore, this has been Michael Faust. Please join us again next week for another edition of Off the Grid Radio.